went back, hey. I picked him up. Paul and I picked him up from the airport on Tuesday. He, Marianne, and Boss David. Boss David, I have to say, was almost falling asleep. But I just couldn't get over the suntan that Ray and Marianne have. And it's, I just feel a kind of holy jealousy every time. I trust it's holy. Tinged with something else, maybe, but it's just that sense of memory of living in Zimbabwe and the warmth of the sun. And anyways, let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you brought family back from Congo, Burundi. And Lord, we think too of other members of our family who are scattered around the world. And we ask, Lord, you'd watch over them and keep them just as you've kept us. And Lord, continue to preach and have preached your gospel to us, your good news. Lord, fill Ray with peace and enable him to share some of testimony of these last 6 or 7 weeks, but also, Lord, above all else, to preach your gospel. I ask, Lord, you do this by the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Joy to the world. Oops. Okay. Out. Am I on now? Yeah? Okay. Marumutse Sangaro. Amahoro. Yesa Shimwe. Hallelujah. It's good to be back. I think just for you to know that I've already asked Ezra. He's going to close in song today. So we could be here a little while after he gets going. So that's okay. I want to, first of all, give just thanksgiving for the prayers that this church has carried us in. We have really sensed that. And it's one of the reasons why we feel we can go with such confidence and do the things that we feel and sense that God has called us to do. It's because we know that there's intercession going on all the time, and there, you know, we sense it even when, you know, even in the midst of challenging times, all of a sudden, I think it was Marjorie or somebody was in Hawaii, and the next thing we know, she was praying for us, and it's good to be covered in that way. I also want to bring you greetings from Pastor Reuben and Mama Bea, all the children, children both in the high plateau of Congo and eastern Congo, children from the many villages that we're working in, the children in Eko Shalom, it's our school with 900 children in it, in the Uvira, just across the border, and also from our New Hope children, and they just send their love to you. I've got some video of them, and they're all just giving you greetings and hugs and everything else, and we're going to have an evening where we can share all of that very shortly. I also want to bring greetings from Marianne. She's not here this morning. She's been having, since we got back, some difficulty with her breathing again, and she's actually going to go in and see the specialist tomorrow. This morning, actually, we almost took her into emergency because she wasn't able to catch her breath, but we prayed, and God just really answered the prayer, and she was fine, but she hadn't slept all night. So continue to pray for her, but she's fine. That doesn't really say a whole lot, does it? Fine. Yeah, please, let's do it. Rick, why don't you just lead us? Amen. Thank you, Rick. Amen. But I've also got a task this morning, not just to give a testimony about what we've been doing and things. I'll try to weave some of that in, but I don't want to take away from really the task that we have. And this, as Charlie said, this is the first Sunday. Actually, I don't know if last Sunday was or this Sunday, but we're calling this the first Sunday. I think it was last Sunday. But, you know, the themes of Advent transcend weeks anyways, because hope, peace, joy, love, I mean, it doesn't have to be defined to a particular day. So we may be a week late, But we're still going to talk about hope. And we're going to talk about the hope that we have, because hope is not a thing, it's a person. This Jesus Christ himself is our hope. And but we're going to, the title of the message, A Living Hope or Just Wishful Thinking. And so often that's how we characterize hope, is I hope this will happen or I hope that will happen. But we'll see just what unfolds here. But if you could turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, and we just want to read just an encouraging gospel. And it even came out as Rod was sharing just prior to communion. But it begins in verse 3. We're going to read from verse 3 to 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Can someone say, you know, I'm going to do this. I've just come back from Africa. I don't say turn to your neighbor. You don't have to do that. Can somebody just say living hope? See, that's different than a hope that's just, well, I sure hope this happens. We're born to a living hope. A living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God. Somebody say, protected by the power of God. Amen. Amen. We need to realize that. We are protected. Even while we're sitting right here in this room, we're protected by the power of God. We don't have to go into jungles or into war-torn areas or anything. We are protected every moment of our lives by the power of God. Through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Has anyone been distressed by various trials? Amen. We all go through them. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And though you have not seen him, you know, I just as I say that, I'm just thinking of Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but not yet seen. But though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. We could stop right there and just celebrate this whole thing about greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory because of what Jesus Christ has given us. Elizabeth Elliot said this. She said, where does your security lie? Is God your refuge, your hiding place, your stronghold, your shepherd, your counselor, your friend, your redeemer, your savior, your guide? If he is, you don't need to search any further for security. I was recently in the mountains of Eastern Congo, as you know. And I got up about midnight one night. I had to go outside. And I went out, anyways, and I to behold one of the most spectacular scenes I have ever seen. I had already, as I have before, been overwhelmed by my surroundings. Every time I go into the mountains, it's tough to get there and it's tough to get out. But once you're there, it's like you're in Switzerland. It's that beautiful. But that night, especially as there was no light for over 100 kilometers, not a single torchlight, the stars and the planets, and indeed the whole heavens were so bright and were so close, it seemed like I could just reach out and I could, you know, like those pictures you see sometimes in kids' books where they reach out and they grab a star. I felt like I was in that kind of place. And a verse from Psalms came just flooding into my soul at that time. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man? We all need to experience wonder. Because when you go through difficulties and when you go through trials and when you go through distressing times, even as they talked about here, when our faith is tested by fire, as if by fire, when we can have that moment of experiencing the wonder of God, it puts life in perspective. As you know, I had just come through the day before a somewhat very traumatic experience. Most of you have read it. I won't recount it, but I did feel that the Lord really gave me direction in the midst of it all. And here I am because of that. But in all of our lives, we can be so occupied with problems and pains of everyday life that we forget God, who wants to come right into the midst of that situation and right into the midst of that trial, and he's there to transform them. I don't know where I'm going to get. I got lots of notes, but we're not going to get through them by any stretch of the imagination. But I do want to say this morning, if you are in the midst of a seemingly overwhelming experience that you're wrestling with, you're fighting against, I want to tell you that the same God who created the wonder of the planets and the stars and everything else, he wants to come into that situation and he wants to transform it. See, that is my hope. That is the very hope that I have. All of our circumstances seem so big until we stand on a mountain and look at the handiwork of our God, who is so much bigger and so much greater and so much more powerful than anything that could come against us. Psalm 119, verse 27, it says, I will meditate on your wonders. As we look at all that God has made, as I stood on those mountains, I look back even over Burundi, and we're up about 9,000 feet, and you look back and you just see this vista, this thing before you. So you see, and you remember things like the crashing of the seas and the waves. But when you stand on that mountain, the amazing creation that we live in, we need to understand that in the midst of all of that, we are the objects of his love. And we are the objects of his care. And we need to reaffirm that over and over and over again. Jesus explained to his disciples, he said this, look at the birds of the air. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Are you not much more valuable than the birds of the air that he feeds every single day? See how the lilies grow. God clothes the grass. Will he not much more clothe you? See, when life is trying to hem us in, we need to step away from all that is restricting us and all that is coming against us and remember that the God who made the universe wants to perform wonders in our lives and set us free. And that, in one sense, is the real thing of Christmas. Jesus came to fulfill this, to give us hope in the midst of trial. Now, I think if there's anything I've grown in the last 2 months, in the midst, and it is that whole thing. My hope is built on nothing less. Nothing less. Nothing less. Listen to what King Darius said. He had just sent Daniel to the lion's den, and he comes out and he finds out that Daniel's still alive, and he's been rescued by God, and he's greatly relieved. And this is what a pagan king says. He says, he is the living God, and he endures forever. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders. That's where my hope is. That is the hope of all creation. St. Augustine said this, let the Lord your God be your hope. Seek for nothing else from him, but let him himself be your hope. There are people who hope from him riches or perishable or transitory honors. In short, they hope to get things from God which are not God himself. John Calvin said this, and I just love the way this is put. We should ask God to increase our hope when it is small, awaken it when it is dormant, confirm it when it is wavering, strengthen it when it is weak, and raise it up when it is overthrown. If you're in any of those places this morning, the God who created the universe is willing to raise it up and increase it and awaken it and confirm it and strengthen it and raise it up. And that is hope. Charles Spurgeon said this, faith goes up the stairs that love has built and looks out the windows which hope has opened. I love that. I love that. Another one said this, blessed is he who expects nothing, for he shall never be disappointed. Man can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but only 1 second without hope. There is no medicine like hope, no incentive so great, and no tonic so powerful as the expectation of something tomorrow. And I want to say, if I am in the will of God, then my solid hope, not my wishful thinking, my solid hope is that all the resources of heaven are ready and waiting for me to accomplish that which will make much of him in whatever situation I'm in. And that's the confidence that no matter what happens back here, Eric, for those of you who don't, I mean, I was attacked by two guys and then there was three. And this was the morning I was out for a run, and this was the morning I was preparing. At 9 o'clock, I was to leave for Congo and head up into the mountains. And they did a pretty good job, but they didn't do a complete job. Thank God. But you know, even in the midst of that back there, looking forward, all the resources of heaven are waiting and ready for me to use. Because my heart is to make much of him in whatever situation I'm going into. For it is from him and through him and back to him. I don't know how many of you have read Marianne's blog. But one of the things that hope does is it cancels out fear. It cancels out fear. I won't read the whole thing, but hope is an antidote to fear. When we look at hope, even in the context of Advent, whatever fear you're experiencing, and it doesn't mean you have to be, oh, I'm sitting in the corner just shaking. It can be the fear of tomorrow. It can be the fear of where am I going to have the finances for next week. It can be the fear of the future. It can be the fear of anything. But hope is the antidote to all of that. Marianne, in her blog, she was talking about all the things before we left Canada, and she was, you know, the whole thing of ISIS and the slaughtering of people and Ebola and all that stuff, and she was even questioning whether she should even go. She was contemplating just staying back in Canada with boss. And there were many people putting words to the fear that she felt. But she had a breakthrough, and David Freeman said she remembered something about always speaking the vision that God has given you so it's clear. Don't lose sight of it. And she realized that fear was clouding the vision of what God had given us and called us to do and the plans yet to be unfolded in what God wanted to do. And so she said yes and everything else. And then just before we were ready to go, she got sick, very sick actually. And again, fear. What should happen if, because I'm not well, airport security might not let me through because they think I've got Ebola? And you need to know at all the airports now, even in Africa, I mean, it's comical actually, But they're checking everybody that comes through with these little things and these little guns they point at you. And if your temperature's too high, you're out. You don't even get into the country. But again, fear. What should happen if, because I'm not well, the airport security, while nervously testing everyone, should pick up a sign of a fever that I've got? So all of that. But she was going through all of that. I've just got it here. But if you ever want, go on the blog site. It's a great, great thing. And there were many things that occurred that were, of course, out of her control. Because once we got there, I got very sick. And, you know, so much so that some people were saying that maybe I should be brought back. But the fear that crept into Marianne was, what if Ray dies here? What's going to happen? But the week went over. I was battling sickness. She's never seen me sick before. I've never been sick before, but I've never been that sick before either, I'll tell you. But I recovered, and then I was out in this run in the morning, and I got attacked. And that's a long story and everything else. And then, so we got this. I'm come back, and I'm all cut up and bleeding and bruised and everything else. And then 2 hours later, we're leaving for Congo. And she's thinking, what happens? What if he had gotten killed? And now what if he's going to Congo? What if he's going to, you know, all of this stuff was Kremlin. Then she thought the fear of rebels attacking the vehicle as we're traveling up the mountains. And fortunately, we didn't. We met them, but they didn't attack us on the way up. They were waiting for us to come down, but that's another story. But all of that, so all of that, and then all the journey, she didn't hear a lot of it, even until actually we were sharing with Charlie and Judy. She said, I never heard that. Fear. But hope. And she closed her, says, it seems every day there are new opportunities to trust God and to not allow fear to take over. And then she closed with this anecdote. I remember hearing Jehoshaphat speak this. This is a pastor that we work with. He says, an African pastor speaking last Sunday was saying how thankful he was for the governments in Africa. He says, because they cause us to have to look to God for everything. When things around us do not work, when life is out of our control, when our rights are overlooked, there is one who we can go to who is always available to hold all things together. Hope. Hope is the antidote. Hope, and somebody mentioned it this morning, the hope and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Just a little story. When we were coming down from the mountains, as those of you who don't know, we were delayed by torrential rains. And we were actually, at one point, we were not cursing God, but we were, God, why are you doing this? You know, we had a window of opportunity we had to get. But the Lord held us back. And then we arrived at the market area 2 hours down the mountain, and they're surprised that we're there. How did you get through? I said, well, what do you mean? It was only been raining. How did you get through? And we said, what do you mean? He said, well, the rebels just attacked the village that you went by 45 minutes ago and killed some people and took him. They were FNL rebels from Burundi. And the people we were traveling with are Tutsis, and they would have been shot on the spot. But when we got there, it's like I understood something about God. If I put my hope in him, I don't have to let fear hold us back. And it's at that moment I got a fresh revelation of that. And so we continued down the mountain. It's a long story and different things. And then we're carrying us down the mountain. We're into the dark and we're into rebel territory where there's three different rebel groups operating. And it's dark. And it's like, you don't want to be out in the dark. The only vehicle on the road anywhere. And there's no security. I was telling Charlie the other night, there's no security in the fact that you've got headlights. Because in this vehicle we were traveling in, the left headlight pointed up this way, and the right headlight pointed over that way. which was great if there was anybody in the bush. But we weren't going to see anything in front of us if there was anything there. But, you know, it was just, there was not a bit of fear. I have to honestly say, there wasn't one shred of fear at any point. And I realized that I had settled something. That if my hope is in Him, the same one who created the stars and the planets, then fear is not my portion. I don't have, and that's not bravado, that's not macho thinking. Please don't hear that. It's a confidence, a confident expectation that the God who said go will see me to the end. And as you know, a couple of years ago, God said don't go. And we listened. And the ones that did go got killed. So there's something about that. And so we're down and it's dark and we're in rebel territory and we're just finally getting down the mountain. And then all of a sudden, there's all these flashlights, powerful flashlights, and everybody yelling and screaming. And next thing we know, we're surrounded by soldiers. And the guys in the back are shaking. They really are. I mean, my attitude at that point was, okay, Lord, how are you going to handle this one? Because I knew He had handled the other one. And I was like, how are you going to handle this one? And, you know, it turns out that they weren't rebels, though they sure looked like it, because they had no uniforms on, but they were government soldiers. But they were still wondering, why were you out? Why were we traveling? Especially with a Mzungu. What's the Mzungu doing with you? That's me. So we began talking, and the Lord handled it. He took care of it. First of all, they were very belligerent. They were ready to do all kinds of things. They were arguing back and forth. They pulled the vehicle. They were going to empty the vehicle. They were going to take us and everything else. And then Amando in the back. I have to tell a story. Kadume, he's the guy that works up in the mountains. He's on the back of the vehicle hiding on a cell phone. And he's saying, Pastor, Kasenge, which means pray. And we're trying to say, Kadume, put the phone away. They're gonna think you're contacting the rebels and telling them to go. So we finally got, but Imando. And again, this is where my hope lies. Imando, all of a sudden, something, they're speaking Swahili, but it doesn't sound like the Swahili from down here. So he says, Pastor Ray, is it okay? I'm going to go out. I said, okay, Lord, how are you going to handle this? Imando, if you want to go out, I'm going to stay right here, but you go ahead out. And, you know, because I'm just waiting to see how the Lord. And he goes out and he begins speaking Lingala. And Lingala is the language of the army. And only the army speak Lingala in Congo. And if you speak Lingala, what they say, you must have contacts in the army. Because otherwise you don't know how to speak Lingala. So he begins to, and their question, how did you learn Lingala? Well, tells the story. Well, the next thing you know, we are their best friends. And I said, Lord, you're amazing.
Lord is amazing.
So the reason they had stopped us is because a war had broke out the day before. And some of the soldiers had been killed. And the captain, there was a new captain who was there. He had been killed. So they said, we can't allow you to go. It's too dangerous. Because if something happens, it's on our shoulders. We said, well, listen, we can't stay here. We're on a mission from God. You know? No, we didn't say that. But I just thought, Blues Brothers, it sounded really good. But then he says, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll give you two soldiers to ride on the back of your vehicle, and they'll escort you to the bridge. And after the bridge, you should be okay. And we said, thank you, Lord. We got through. We had no further problems. But we had to stand in our hope. We had to stand in the God, in the fact that God who brought us through the storm, God who brought us past the rebel attack. Rod, we didn't tell you about the on the way up, we encountered a Mai Mai rebel group. Now, the Mai Mai rebels, they carry the body parts on their belts and everything like that. And there was only two of them, and they let us pass. But we knew, because we heard from the other guys when we got up to the market that day, don't tell anybody when you're coming down, because they'll be waiting for you. Because they have a network that they've got in the mountains now that any vehicles that are passing, they know. So anyways, they let us go on. And of course, the joke when we were up in the mountains at that time was, what time aren't we leaving tomorrow? You know, because we didn't want to let anybody know that we were leaving. But because of the storm, because of everything that had taken place, they had gone. And they weren't there. God had taken care of it. I just want to say, if you put your hope in God, if you put your hope in God, He takes care of every detail. That can sound kind of dramatic, but it isn't. It's our everyday life. You don't have to be in the mountains of Congo. You don't have to be in the jungle. You don't have to be in the midst of war. Whatever situation we're in now, He is our hope. And His promise never fails me. And my desire is to follow Him forever. We sing those songs. Do we live them, though? And that's the key. Turn with me to Isaiah 40. We'll get finished here in just a second. Isaiah chapter 40. Two verses. Isaiah 40, verse 31. You know this familiar, it's a familiar passage, but all of Isaiah 40 is just powerful, but it begins in verse 30. I love the way it ends. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. That's a hope. And though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous men stumble badly, yet those who hope in the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not get weary. And Psalm 103 is talking about the Lord again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The who there is our hope. That is what we're talking about when we enter Advent. The who the psalmist is speaking at is that one, the same one that one day would be the one who would come and do all of this for us. And that's what it speaks about. You are my hope, I said. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And we sang the song, my hope is built on nothing less. This first theme of Advent calls us to have hope, even in hopeless situations. And if there's anything I can leave you with this morning, is whatever your situation, whatever, is not hopeless. Not when the God of all hope is available and working for us. But the Advent calls us to reflect on the Christmas story and to enter into that promise that it has provided for us, that He said He would come, and He came, and it was so. If you don't have material things you think you deserve, if you don't have all the needs covered, if you think, we just need only think back to when Jesus was born. He was born in lowly circumstances. He came as hope to a lost and dying world. Jesus, who had everything, if you look in Philippians chapter 2, He had it all, and yet He gave it all up to come to earth to show His tremendous humility and love by making Himself of no reputation. I was reminded of this when we visited one of the village right next to our land, our Najengo land, and it gave us the opportunity to share both practically and spiritually about what hope really is. And they've got nothing. And we were able to say, you said, well, who is your hope? And we began to share with them, well, you know, if you put your hope in Christ, he's able to redeem wherever you are right now. And they began to say, yeah, we understand that. We understand that. And the next time we came into the village, not that we were their hope, but they had put their hope, and they said, we will trust God. And God has given us through some generous people in the village, we're going to drill a new well in their village, and they're going to have clean water for the first time in their lives. And they're going to have a cow that gives milk that the kids can drink. And I said, see, God knows. He's looking after you. We can have hope for a successful future. We can joyfully anticipate something better ahead because of our hope. And if we maintain hope, we eagerly await something beyond what we could ask or think. He is our hope. And Advent teaches us not just to expect that. You know, I'm going to close in just a moment because I want Ezra to sing for us again. But in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, and it says, as we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness in realizing the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, if there was a sign that I'd love to put over the door, Psalm 42, verse 5. Three words. Hope in God. That as we go into whatever it is that God's leading us into, that we would have that message on our mind every moment we leave this building, every week that we leave this building, that we would walk out, and as we enter into the ministry and the work that God has called us into, that we would hope in God. The verse reads it this way, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Turn to yourself. No, look, you ever done that? Look at self. Hope in God. We need to preach that to ourselves often as we can. See, the soul in this passage is arguing with itself. And it's saying, why, soul, why are you downcast? That's what the psalmist is saying here. Why are you downcast, O my? Why are you disquieted with soul? Why? And sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to get away in a corner sometimes when we think things are terrible and say, all right, just you and me. Okay, nobody else here. We're going to have a little chat. Soul, no, don't turn away from me. Look me in the eye right now. Don't hide. Don't roll your eyeballs. Somebody has said that. You know, and our soul sometimes says, oh, not again. Yes, again. Because you're not listening. I tell you, I remind you, but you insist on doing your own thing anyway. So, soul, why are you so upset and you disquieted within me? Soul, hope in God. See, it doesn't come naturally for us. That's why we need to speak to ourselves. That's why we need to remind ourselves. That's why we need to preach to ourselves diligently and forcefully, or we will give way to the downcast and disquieted spirit. And listen, I know at Christmas time particularly, It's one of the most vulnerable times for people, especially some of you who have lost loved ones, or your family's not here, or you're in a strange place, and everything begins to creep in. And see, the theme of Advent, one of the themes is hope. And if you feel that coming, trying to take hold of you, trying to grab you, trying to pull you down, trying to discourage you, take a moment and preach to it. All right, shape up. Listen, the best sermon you can preach to yourself this week, forget what I said. Preach it to yourself. Hope in God. Hope in God. Hope in God. Let me close with this. I got lots of stuff here, but that's okay. Let me close with this. Again, I love my wife. I hate Facebook. But she, you know, but she, I don't say she loves it, but she, what she puts on there is so good sometimes. But she posted this the other day from Michelle Perry. And I'm going to close with this, and Ezra, you can come up. It says this: hope is audacious if it is anything at all. Now, audacious means this. I had to look it up because I thought I knew what audacious meant, but I had to think. It's an adjective, and it means showing a willingness to take surprisingly bold risks. Synonyms for audacious is bold, daring, fearless, intrepid, brave, courageous, valiant, heroic, plucky. That's something that Dave Church would, that's a word that Dave Church would use. You've got pluck. And I think a pluck is pulling feathers out of a chicken or something, you know. Now, audacious can also mean something negative. It can mean impudent, impertinent, insolent. And actually, sometimes when people are being audacious in a positive way, we look at them and we think of them being in a negative way. And we need to be careful. Because hope is audacious, if it is anything at all. When you've got hope, you don't care what's in front of you. Whatever situation is coming, you stand up against it. Because you know. See, hope is this: the full assurance or strong confidence that God is going to do us good in the future. Amen. I don't care what's going on around me right now. My hope and His promise never fails me.
Amen.
So audacious. But then she writes this: it marches right into impossibility and bravely expects promises still unseen. This is the kind of hope which takes us into difficult situations, resting completely on Jesus, who is our hope. I'm praying this morning, in this short time we've had, I'm praying this morning that God's hope would be rekindled in our hearts. And as we go into this Christmas season, that we will go into it with the hope that He is faithful and He's able to do exceeding abundantly, beyond what we can imagine or think. In every place that has been dampened by disappointment or loss or whatever, that we would see hope in a new way. The incentive and power to live a Christian life pleasing to God comes from hope. From strong confidence in God, which has the power to produce changes in how we live. Now, closing scripture is in Romans 15, verse 13. And it's a blessing for us today. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is our hope. And that's what Christmas is about. Amen. Amen.
Ezra, just and the worship team, the musicians, please come up. I'm just aware, just as Ezra's getting ready, I'd like you to pray, Ray. I'm aware that there are a number of us who have heard what Ray has said, and yes, we're there. We're going to speak to ourselves, and we're going to pull ourselves up into hope. But I'm also aware that there may be one or two or three amongst us who you can hear it, but right now you're still overwhelmed.